For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Baseball season is back, and the Podcast Park has the best local baseball podcast to help get you ready for another season. Check out the Braves Country Podcast, where we dig deep into the soil of life in the Southeast, the people, the music, the food, and of course, Braves baseball. Or try Hardball with Chris Domino, the long-running baseball history series with in-depth conversations from the players and people that shape the game. And KMAC has the latest Braves updates every week with a Frozen Rope Report. Get these and all of our podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. All brought to you in part by Associated Credit Union.
Spoiler alert, Fresca Mixed is the drink of the summer. Classic Fresca taste, real spirits, zero sugar, and only 100 calories. Find the new Fresca Mixed Vodka Spritz Variety Pack with four delicious flavors or the Tequila Paloma near you at frescamixed.com/buy. Enjoy responsibly. Fresca is a trademark of the Coca-Cola Company. Fresca Mixed 5% alcohol by volume. Vodka Spritz, vodka with natural flavors and artificial sweeteners. Tequila Paloma, tequila with natural flavor. All products per 12 fluid ounce average analysis. Calories 100, protein 0 grams, fat 0 grams, carbs range from 1.3 to 1.6 grams.
The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-pointer. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
By the way, happy 20th anniversary to the shot that killed the damn Kings.
Yeah.
In the Western Conference Finals, it's the Big Shot Bob Pod. B-Dog Brandon Harper, I'm Rob Jenners. That is NBA legend Robert Ory. I was all over the place the other day. I didn't realize we'd reached 20 years since that day.
You know, it's so weird. I was actually in Abu Dhabi and everybody was blowing me up. Like, can you do an interview today? I'm like, no, dude, I'm in the bed because it's a different time zone. I'm in Abu Dhabi. So it was fun, man, to talk about it, though, because when they said 20 years, it says, oh, shit, I'm old.
Oh, yeah. No, we're at. Yeah.
It's 20 years ago, man. It seemed like it was just yesterday.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it remains still one of those moments that you see in every, you know, playoff package and the Western Conference Finals packages when they do the big pieces and the intros and stuff. Mm. Always Robert Ory's dagger against the King. Oh, every time, dude. Every time. Yeah, good stuff. Just a lot going on. Obviously, we are full on into the NBA Finals. Game one's tomorrow. We're going to talk about that in a second. But I have something I got to address with you. It didn't come up last week, and I forgot completely about it. Someone on Twitter reminded me. Somebody on Twitter, and you may have seen it on Instagram, sent a picture out of you walking off the court in what looked like a playoff game, might have been a regular season game, but your damn shorts were like below your knees. Like they were hanging off, like someone had pantsed you on your way off the court. And they tagged it and they go, Robert Ory, what's going on here? And I'm like, I've never even seen this photo. I don't even know what this is.
I've seen it before.
I've never seen that. What happened?
I've seen it before. It's been a couple of GIFs. What is it? GIFs? It's called GIFs, right?
I think they're called GIFs, yeah. GIFs. I will always call them GIFs, though.
I think GIFs are sometimes, but they're called GIFs. It had them where it says, when your girl call you and you read it automatically. It's so many different little captions. What happened was, you know how the NBA is always changing? You know, we got a new guy who sponsored the uniform this year. We got this, we got that. And that year, the uniforms were awful, man. They itched, they didn't stretch, they didn't breathe. And the shorts, the strings kept breaking in them. Mm. And so the string broke, and I was just so frustrated with it because I was literally had to play like 5 minutes. You know, you can't just call talking like, yo, coach, my string broke.
Yeah.
So eventually, you know, a dead ball. That was actually in Sacramento.
Oh, was it?
And so, yeah, it was. And the dead ball situation, I just got tired. I had already told Rudy Garcia-Duenas, who was our equipment manager, that my string broke again. So I was just tired. I just said, you know what? I'm just going to walk. I'm tired of holding them up. that was my protest to the NBA. Like, you want to put these cheap ass shorts on us? Here, let everybody see my skinny ass legs and my butt cheeks.
Your ass hanging out of your pants. Yeah, I didn't know what happened.
My mama said I was showing my ass.
Yes, you were. You showed your ass. It looked like someone pantsed you on your way off the floor. I've seen guys do that all the time. Like when they check out of a game and somebody just goes, yoop. And like, oh, man, come on, dude. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I always talk about the picture, and we had it on at Spectrum when we were talking about the Lakers. They were showing this picture, and they're like, "What's happening?" I said, "Well, you know," I explained. I said, "At least Chick got a rise out of it, right?" You know, because Chick's hair is like this, and he's like laughing his ass off.
That's funny. All right, well, that had come up, and I forgot to mention it last week. I wanted to find out what that was about. So, all right, well, we're in.
I was trying to get me a contract with Playgirl.
Oh, is that what that was? Unsuccessful. I see.
I was preparing for life after basketball.
Oh, he's working on his own chapter for Showtime now. That's what that is. Showtime, the Robert Ori nude model years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're right into the finals now. Game one's tomorrow. I did want to revisit quickly Boston-Miami game seven, mainly because how many game sevens did you play in? A lot? Three or four, maybe? I don't think it was a ton, right?
It wasn't a ton. I played in two in the finals, New York and Detroit. Went to the finals, Sacramento, the year I made the shot. That was a seven-game series. Portland was a seven-game series. Houston, I went to seven game series with, you know, I already said New York, with Seattle, we lost that one. Okay. I've been through a lot of game seven series. More than I thought. But the thing is, I didn't go to a lot of seven games. So that means I'd have played more playoff games than I already did. So I'm happy I didn't go to a lot of game sevens. Yeah. You know,
what is the mentality, either you personally or as a team, going into a game seven?
You know, game seven is just like, it, to me, it gives you so much energy because game seven is do or die. I remember the game seven we played when we were down 3-1 to Phoenix and we came back and won that series in game seven in Phoenix. And you should have seen us. We were the most relaxed team ever because we know we had their asses on the rope and they could do them but try to grab and clutch on. You know how the boxers do when they know their ass is about to get the beat, they try to grab on, but we were sticking and moving. And it's amazing. As a team, you know if you're rolling, if you're going to go out and destroy this team. You know if you got a team on the ropes, like I said. But for us and for me, I'm relaxed, man, because I know that extra adrenaline that comes from knowing you got to win this game is going to 9 times out of 10 make me play better, make the team play better, we're going to win. I would love to, now that you say that, I need to go back and see how many game sevens I actually lost because it'll be –
it can't be many. It can't be many. Mm-hmm. Now with the success that's been hurled upon you in your career, can't be a lot of game seven losses in there. Maybe a couple.
See, that's why – what my stat person at? This is where I need my
this
son,
is
Nick.
When we need the people
my,
expect.
Hey, my all son, right. Nick, knows all my stats. It's incredible,
he?
Man. He all can right. tell you whatever you need to know,
let's
man.
See, let's game see seven. Google knows. How many game sevens did Robert Ori lose?
Because if I go back to my first year, my first time I lost game seven to Seattle in overtime in their building.
We don't have to go too far into it, but I was always curious about, you know, game seven mentality is just interesting because it is – for me, it's the most exciting thing. As a fan, you lose your mind for Game 7. Because if you've got skin in the game, like if you're a fan of either team, it is the most nerve-wracking thing in the history of sports. Like when the Braves go to 7 against the Dodgers or something. I mean, like that is like you're ripping your hair out as a fan. So I just don't know how the mentality differs.
It is so weird because for me, I think back to Game 7 when we played New York. At home, I was nervous. Game seven, when I played, you know, Detroit at home, and these are the games in the final, I was nervous.
Yeah.
But when we played Phoenix in game seven on the road, I was relaxed as hell. But it's so weird because you feel like if you're at home, there's more pressure for me. On the road, it's like it's more pressure on the other team because their fans are like this, watching you.
Oh,
he's like, oh, I can't make a mistake. And I think that's how a lot of guys feel in game sevens at home. it's more pressure on me because I got to perform in front of my fans on the road. Like, we're not supposed to be here. We relax.
Right, yeah.
Let's just go out here and ball out.
And,
you know?
And so. Shock the world and send these people mm-hmm. home with frowns on their face, which is what kind of happened in Miami there.
But see Miami, but Miami was what? They were 1-3 at home. And neither team yeah. really wanted to play at home because neither team did well at home in the series. It was always mm-hmm. the road team that rose to the occasion and not only won, but won big because a lot of these games were blowouts.
Yeah.
Well, in this one, Game 7, Heat and Celtics, within the last probably 2 minutes of the game, that was what, like a 4-point game? I mean, it was close yeah. down
Miami
the end.
Came back.
And then, yeah, they just, Boston stretched out and took off with it at that point that Miami couldn't hit a basket when they needed to. And
right.
that was kind of all she wrote at the end there. But just, yeah, I mean, to flame out like that in Game 7 at home at the very end. Oh,
I think, you know, you in situations like that, I think Spoelstra's okay. I know Jimmy Butler played the entire game. You have to find stretches where you give him a rest.
Yes.
You know, you got to find, you yeah. got to have, if it's the last minute of the quarter, you bring him out because that minute is actually like 15 minutes because of
TV forever.
Timeouts.
Oh, it takes
and, you know,
forever.
Whatever. Yeah, because I feel like if you'd have had more rest, if it had been in that same situation where he shot that three, he might have made it because his legs were good, but his arms were like, eh!
Yeah.
His arms weren't, it was, it wasn't, they weren't the normal stretch out, but
I think he rushed it.
Yeah, yeah, because he was going a little too fast. Yeah. And because if you look, he had just made the same shot, not, you know, in the previous game when he was hot from three, that same move, and everybody like, he shouldn't have shot that shot. He shoots that shot every once in a while. But I also think the NBA messed up. If you don't, what's his name? Strauss?
Oh, yeah.
That three they took from him.
His foot was out of bounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but his foot was, it was Sean Elliott. His foot was up.
Oh, it wasn't down on the line.
I don't think it was down on the line. I think it was up. And so
I only saw it online, a couple replays. So mm-hmm. I couldn't tell. But
to me, it looked like it was up like Sean Elliott and like Ray Allen's. Those guys' foot was looked like, but his wasn't up on his toes as much as those guys. So you could really see it. So I think if you miss it mm-hmm. during a game, you can't go back. And say, okay, I messed up. Because that's equivalent to, you know, going back to, oh, I missed that foul. I'm going to give it to you now. Go shoot your free throws.
Right.
That's, to me, you know, it's, human error is a part of the game. You know, if you're going to call that, why not go down and say, okay, I missed this call on you and your foul where I clearly see you got hit on the arm. And since you was at the basket, I'm automatically, you know, give you two. So I think the NBA messed up with that. That's a part of the game, human error. You can't get mad at refs, like I said, for missing bad calls. They missed that call. You got to let it go. Don't go back and review it.
But how pivotal of a shot, I'm trying to remember, how pivotal of a shot would that have been if it would have counted?
Well, you got to think it's a psyche thing also.
It's right. momentum.
Like, all of a sudden, yeah. you like, oh, and then announcer comes up, that three just made was taken off the board. He's like, oh, man, You
right.
know, it's frustrating.
Right.
You know, and plus, you know, it makes the other team like, oh shit, yeah, we got three more points. You know, it's all about the energy, the confidence, and the momentum. You just can't do that. They got to change that rule, man.
Yeah. I don't like when the NBA does where they'll come out after the game and go, we messed this up and we messed this up, so we're acknowledging. Don't even call attention to it. It happened, move on.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. as soon as the NBA calls attention to it or an officials league calls attention to it, now it's a point of contention forever. Now is, well, we would have won this game if they would have gotten that call and they acknowledged they screwed it up. It's like, it happened.
Right.
Move on from it.
20 years ago, we had the same thing with the Sacramento Kings. Oh, they call all the fouls. They do. You forget. You got all the fouls in game six. You Dibby shot shouldn't have counted. And we didn't complain about that because why? I know because we won it, but if we probably lost, we probably complained. Then we come into your place in game seven, kick your ass in your building. And don't you're going to say, oh, one game. No, if you play to get home court advantage, you know, talk about that. And you can't, it's like, so this conspiracy theory.
It's
that
revisionist
goes
history, man. It's well, if, yes. if this would have happened, then we would have gotten, come on.
Mm-hmm. If Jordan would have played in 94, 95,
okay,
he'd have won
fine.
Eight straight.
That's okay. That's so be it.
I'm
making shit up.
I mean, we can have that discussion. But
no, we're not going to have hypotheticals about stuff that never
happened.
But see,
we won't have to discuss because I know then that takes two titles away from your ring collection.
Oh, hell, it doesn't because we go win that shit. Because people forget Michael Jordan ass was playing in 95. He got beat by a younger, better team.
Yes, he sure did.
Well, he wasn't playing the whole season.
It doesn't matter. He was in the playoffs.
He was there. He was there when he counted.
And people talk, oh, he was the motherfucker dropped 55 in the game.
Yeah.
If you ain't in shape and back where you need to be, the problem is people think MJ can carry four guys who can't play. He could not. He could not carry four guys who couldn't play. They go out and they get Dennis Rodman. You know, they go out and Kukoc learns how to play with George. They have this whole roster that's built that's better than the previous year. That's what it's about. You know, you got to make your roster better. So all these freaking Chicago fans and these experts, like, oh, they went and won. Michael Jordan won. He was back. Yeah. He just didn't have the team. You know, well, you say the same thing about LeBron and Kobe, all these great players. If they ain't got a roster, you know, every now and then they might be able to get to the finals, but they ain't going to win that shit when they run up against the elite teams when you get to the conference finals and the NBA finals.
Let me tell you, and this is called a tease in radio, coming up in a little bit here, I have audio from Colin Cowherd that addresses exactly what you're talking about in regards to Michael Jordan and, in turn, Steph Curry. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So hang on to your thoughts on Jordan there. But
So 94. So if Jordan plays.
Oh, here we go. Jesus
hypothetical
Christ.
Situation. Oh, right, since we're already down this rabbit hole.
No, let's go.
94, 95. Let's say he doesn't go play baseball. You know, baseball is his first love. He said, F it, I'm just going to continue to play. You all beat him in both of those seasons.
Yes. You want to know why?
Talk to me.
Because Michael Jordan would tell you for a fact that Vernon Maxwell was one of the toughest guys that guarded him. Second fact, he would tell you that Hakeem Olajuwon, they had no answer for. Third fact, Scottie Pippen and I could have guarded him. Fourth fact, hey, we Rudy T would have outcoached Phil. I know everybody's saying, what? Because here's why I say that. Because we double team. Phil would not double team. And I know this for a fact because Tim Duncan ate my ass alive in the playoffs when he wouldn't give me no help on the block when Tim was at his pinnacle play and he was killing it. So if you don't stop the big, because Phil's philosophy is one man won't kill us. And Dream would have annihilated them because they would have had no answer for the original Nigerian nightmare. That
I love
right there.
That. I love that you had a laid out point system. That was brilliant. You have thought about that way too much.
Because growing up,
I have to ask this question way too much.
Well, who did they have? Was it Bill Cartwright? Was there Bill?
Yes. Was it Cartwright there? Or Willington? No, it was Cartwright.
Oh, it was. I think Cartwright was still there. Yeah.
If you go back, I want you to pull up the games when you off camera when you get a chance. You just pull up 94. You know what? Put up. You know my rookie year against the Bulls, and next year against the Bulls, and all that against the Bulls. I want you to pull up our matchups against them.
Okay. All right. We'll look at it. Mm-hmm. We'll go back and look at it. We have more Jordan conversation coming up in a second here. Boston, Golden State. How you feeling about this series? Do you like it? How do you feel about how this shook out?
Take your headphones off right now so you can't hear this.
Oh.
You know, people, Laker fans, gonna be mad at me for saying this. I think Boston in seven, man. I just look at the way they play defense.
Boston in seven.
Laker fans, how dare you? I'm not rooting for Boston. If I had to root for someone, I would root for Boston because of Ime. Me and Adoku played together in the Spurs, so I have a relationship with him. So you root for people you know. I don't know anybody on the Warriors team. I've done a commercial with Steph, but I don't know him like that.
Right.
So I have to,
Coach Kerr pretty well.
He was on the podcast, but, you know, he and I don't have each other's number. So
okay,
I got a root for Ime. You know, me and Ime, we battled, you know, we try to win a championship to get on the floor. So, yeah.
I'm not mad at that because I'm not one of the Lakers. Do I like the Celtics? No, but I'm not one of the fans that's, oh, my God, I can't believe a Laker legend said.
I'm going to blast this out on social media. Yeah, Robert Horry picks the Celtics.
I'm not doing that because at some point in time, you got to look at a game for face. You got to look at the matchup and look at things for face value and be objective. Mm-hmm. However, I will say, because I love Jason Tatum. He may be wearing the ugly green, but I love Jason
beast.
Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him ever since he was, you know, came out of high school when he was at Duke. Watched him all the way through and knew that he would be as great as he is. I still have a hard time going against the Warriors for the simple fact that I think they have overall the better roster, and I think the experience factor is going to play a part. I think not a lot of people did not think that the Warriors were going to get back to the finals with Klay being injured as much as he was, Steph breaking down a little bit. Okay, you did.
That'd be me.
But
I didn't think this year.
Right. But and then, you know, Draymond going through everything and then having a bunch of young guys come through and seeing how they were going to come into the fold and for everything to come full circle the way that it is, I just don't know, because I think Boston is tough. Like, defensively, I think they are tough. And I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, these young guns, man, they're ready to, like, they're taking it to another level. But I just think that the experience of this Golden State team with their big three, like, Klay is back. Everything he had to go through, and now he's back, I think they really, really take advantage of this moment. I say Warriors in six.
That was my pick. It was exactly the same.
Warriors six. Warriors, you know, I always laugh at people when they say a team has the experience. I think when the Warriors won their first title, that was the first time in the finals, and I talked about experience with that, right? Okay. So I think sometimes, you know, experience is overrated when it comes to playing in the NBA finals. I can understand these guys was new to the league. Mm-hmm. These guys have been battle-tested, man. They won a lot of games on the road.
Yeah, they did.
They've gone out and played a lot of games together. You think about it, they have a big three. They have a big three. And the key is just, we're not even going to talk about the big three. They're going to watch each other. I think the biggest key for the Golden State Warriors is how Wiggins plays. If Wiggins is able to play and give them some buckets, that's going to be a plus. And on the flip side of that, if we get, oh boy,
who's old boy?
Horford to turn back the dial,
Al
and
Horford,
he's able to play. That's going to be key. But, you know.
Can I tell you, by the way? I got two numbers for you. One of them is on Horford. Horford reaching his NBA finals after playing in 141 playoff games. Finally gets to the NBA finals. 141 playoff games.
I think him and Chris Paul have the longest streak.
Damn. It has to be. I mean, that's wild. That number threw me. Here's the other one for you. For what it's worth. Since Steve Kerr took over the Dubs, the Celtics have the best record against them, 9-7. And Steph Curry doesn't necessarily play out of his shoes against Boston. He's 11-11 in all the games they've played against Boston thus far. So he's a 500 player.
That's that. I will say this.
So take that for what it's worth. But
that's that Marcus Smart approach. Like, I really think, you know, with Marcus Smart's defense, I think he can pose some issues with Steph Curry, because he's not going to back down from Steph. You know, he's gonna be the physical force out there on the perimeter. He's not, if he's gonna get it, it's not gonna come easy. He's going to really, really, really have to work against Marcus Smart.
You're giggling. Why are you giggling? Yeah.
No, I'm laughing because when you're the defensive player of the year, you're allowed to do so much stuff other guys cannot do. You're able to push through screens, you're able to grab, you're able to hold. And I remember when Gary Payton wanted, that dude would grab your arms, grab your shorts, and the ref would look like this. It's like defensive players of the year. I'm gonna say something. Even Dream, when he would go block a shot, he would grab your shoulder and block the shot. With defensive players of the year, they're allowed to do so much stuff, man. And refs like, oh, that's just good defense by them.
Right.
So Marcus Smart is going to be key. And even Robert, he's on a second team all defensive team. I hope he can stay healthy,
right?
Because that's going to be a matchup. Because if Looney. That's the one thing about, you know, Boston. Looney probably won't be a factor in this series, because if Looney's on the court, that's going to benefit Boston.
Yeah.
Because they can play big. They can have that eraser back there. Mm-hmm. So because we know Al Horford can guard Draymond, so that's going to be a matchup. But if they play Looney, that means they're going to bring in Robert, and now they can have a shot blocker, and that's going to be hard to play Looney in this series.
Yeah.
Do we know where Marcus Smart is health-wise?
I think he's fine.
Is he all the way back, or is he just – is he fighting through it?
I think at this point he's good to go. Yeah. It's the finals.
Looked good to me. He looked good to me.
Yeah, he didn't look like he was struggling too much.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Well,
I think everybody's a little hurt and banged up right now. It's one thing to be injured. It's
the finals.
Right.
If you're not hurt and banged up, did you really play all the way?
Right.
If you're not banged up by the time you
that whole Celtics and Heat series was a bloodbath.
Well, your Lakers have a coach.
Darvin Ham
takes over the Lakers.
Good choice.
I was going to say, I saw the B-Dog was up on that. How do you feel about Darvin?
You know, I've been saying this from day one. I've been saying Darvin Ham, Sam Cassell, because I look at the big picture. Darvin Ham, he has the experience. He played as a player, and a lot of times players respect guys who play the game. And, you know, they always look at these guys who come out of the, you know, the review room, the TV room, or doing tape and shit, and be like, he's a coach now? This motherfucker didn't play. You know, so, you know, I think, you know, and I think GMs don't really understand that, unless, especially when they fresh out the scene, guys are like, man, this dude, he never played the game. He don't understand the psyche. You know, he's just X and O's type of guy. And I think with Darvin Ham, he has that pedigree where people are going to say, oh, he played, you know, he has that voice. And think about this. In this day and age, these little young bucks that come in the league, they try to challenge coaches. Let me just say this. If you look at Darvin Ham, you're going to think twice but kind of challenge him, man, because he might put you on your ass. But I think it's a great decision. And also, when I said the big picture, Darvin Ham has a good relationship with a certain player. That certain player in 3 years or 4 years is going to be up. And that means certain players on the Lakers are going to be up. Come on over here to L.A. We have a lot of Greek people in L.A. Yeah. We have more Greek restaurants in L.A.
I think we can go ahead
dance
and put
around that point.
I think we
bit.
Can go ahead and kind of put that one to bed. I don't think that's happening.
You never know. Hey,
dream big,
know, right?
Dream big.
Mm-hmm. I like it from the standpoint. And one thing that we want to kind of address is kind of the underlining things contractually that he was able to get that Frank Vogel didn't have. And that's more control of the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And the report is that Kurt Rambis will not be sitting in coaches meetings like he was when with Frank Vogel. So my thing is, I think the Lakers brass had to understand, okay, if we want a guy that can help make this team better and take us to another level, we got to, you know, for the life of us, let him coach. Go figure. You hire a head coach to let him do his job, and you're going to let him do his job? No, really? Let the man coach. Does the upper management need to be in coaches' meetings? No, because you're undermining his authority, and you're not allowing him to do his job, and you're micromanaging him. You hired him to do a job. You give him a 4-year deal. Let him do what he does. Let him hire his own staff and give him more control. Because if not, he wouldn't have taken this job.
Yeah, but I got news for you. The minute he goes 500 again, Kurt Rambis is going to get nice and cozy in that little corner over there.
Well,
so basically what you're saying is pop your titty out the boy's mouth and let the boy grow up.
How about that?
He's already grown up. You got to stop. You got to stop trying to be the overbearing parent and back the hell up.
But
one of my favorite movies of all time. Pop your titty out the boy's mouth and let the boy grow up.
Is that what that Major Payne?
Yeah, Major Payne.
Oh, my God, what a great movie. I didn't know what it was from, but that's a good Damon Payne. Wayans at his best. Yep. Good for you. Nice job. The other big question, too, obviously, is going to be, it seems like Westbrook, more or less, the Lakers are holding true to Westbrook.
They ain't got no choice.
Yeah, they're not. Well, it's not even that they don't have a choice.
I mean,
It seems like every time they're asked about it, they're like, no, he's our guy. We love him. He's going to be here. Oh, no, we're not trying to move on from him. And it's like, but if the right deal came along, he's gone in 2 seconds. But, I don't think they hesitate to move him.
But the right deal isn't going to happen without them giving up a first-round pick,
which
they don't want to do.
And I think that's what they don't want to do. They don't want to move their picks. Then, and they're like, look, we're resigned to eating.
So they ain't got no picks.
Eat the money, we'll eat the money.
Well, they got the 2024?
Six.
2024.
Okay. Like, it's way down the line.
Trade our 2048 first-rounder.
Not that
first
far down the line
that you think. Hey, hold on. Is it 2024? Are they saving that pick for a certain individual that's still in high school right now?
I don't know.
Because they said they want to play with his dad.
Oh, well, maybe. We asked Jeannie about them. We had her on the show, and she's like, hey, I can't comment on that. I was like, okay, I know where your head's
at. But you're assuming that, I mean, where do you think he falls? Do you think you're trying to be – are you not trying to be bad enough to go get him? That undermines everything.
No,
it's just a joke. I don't think anybody should just, you know, base it on that, because that time will LeBron still be right. LeBron James can give you 20 points a game? That's the biggest question right there.
Right. And another thing about this Laker roster is outside of Bron, AD, and Westbrook, those are the only guys that you got on the books right now. Now, I know that's an expensive three. That is a very
expensive. Too expensive. Really
especially after what Westbrook threw out for you last year. So.
Well, especially with
it's gonna be a hard pill to swallow.
And Anthony Davis upgrading his AARP card. Which he's going to upgrade again next year.
Yeah,
so, I mean, that's very expensive. And an aging LeBron. So you got three guys that's hella expensive and nobody else on the books. You got to be smart about how you spend your money in the offseason now.
Yeah, you got – hey, they ain't got to be smart. Hell, they ain't got no money to spend off season.
No, they ain't.
Shit. We're going to be real smart. Who wants to come play here? Dennis Schroeder, you want to come back? Come on, let's roll it out, baby.
Hey, guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week, I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here was my my Colin Cowherd audio that I talked about earlier that I wanted to play for you. We were talking about Jordan. Cowherd had this point on Steph Curry versus Jordan and their impact on the game. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I thought it was actually pretty good.
I don't get people who don't get Steph. He's the most influential player ever. Michael Jordan had influence in marketing and style, clothes, winning at all costs. I'm not saying Michael did not have influence. He didn't change the game. He was just the greatest player for a long time in the game. Literally all of basketball is different because of Steph Curry. High school, AAU, college, pro, international, Steph Curry. And 3 years ago, if you'd have taken poll of NBA players, not just fans, like players, over half would have chosen Russell Westbrook over Steph. I know, right? Like, what? Players. Over half would have taken Harden over Steph. Those guys aren't winning players. Sports is about winning games. It's not about your Instagram following. It's really not. It's not about your shoe brand. Kevin Durant doesn't win anymore. Steph still wins.
Anyway, that was his take on Steph being a transformative player. And however much I hate to throw credit in the direction of Colin Cowherd, I very much understand his point.
He's right and wrong.
He's right, but people have adjusted the way they approach the game because of the way Steph Curry has played the game and had success playing the game.
Big Shot, I think he's right and wrong, but go ahead.
I think he's wrong, and because if you look at the sport, it wasn't just because of, Steph. It was trending that way with Reggie Miller. It was trending that way with Ray Allen. Think about it. These are the guys that Steph beat as far as, the most threes made. I don't think that had anything to do with Steph. Because if you go back to 95 when we played with the Rockets, we shot a hell of a lot of threes too then. Dream on the inside, we played the perimeter, we shot threes. So the game was evolving. And, even though Steph is probably the best shooter ever to play this game, I don't think it's all due to him. And as you talk about guys that really made the game change, think about Michael Jordan with the, it's 5'5", Black Sox. Michael Jordan, the Black Sox. AI tattoos and braids, him and Ron. It was, you can pick out so many other players that are generational players who've changed the game in so different ways. I know Steph is the wholesome pick, He just started getting tattoos. For a long time, he wasn't just, the guy who had the antics on the court. So he was a safe bet. Don't get me wrong. Steph just changed the game where he can shoot the three. But that's just the way the game is going. You can look at guys that we don't even talk about anymore. Derrick Rose changed the game because he was the youngest guy to ever win the MVP and do these things. But that is the safe pick. And I think a lot of times when you have people like Colin is in this position, they need something to talk about.
Well, of course.
And this is the topic,
Colin's an expert at manufacturing his own topics. Yeah.
I want you to, if you go back.
But I thought it was a really interesting point.
It's interesting, but you can go back to Ralph Sampson. When Ralph Sampson was in his heyday, you can go to the park or go to a game. Every dude ran down the court with his freaking thumbs up because they wanted to be like him. There's so many players throughout the history of the game that made guys want to be like them, want to do what it is. Think about it. Magic Johnson made every guy above 6'2 want to be a point guard. So you just can't say, okay, Steph is the main guy who's transcended basketball and made it the three-point game that it is. Nope, that's the analytical dumbasses that say threes are more than two and that's where the game should be played. So that's it.
And I definitely hear what you're saying. He's right from the standpoint, not necessarily more influential than Michael, but the volume of the number of threes that he's taken. And the usually guys, obviously they say, well, if you shoot more, you'll make more. Well, that's not always the case. not only the volume, but the amount that he's made along with the volume that he's taken is out of this world. And not only him shooting the threes, but how far back he shoot. Like the man, I heard somebody say, if you want to guard Steph Curry, you got to guard him as soon as he get out of the bed. because if not, he's liable to pull up from anywhere. And for him, and very few people in the history of the NBA, there's rarely ever such thing as a bad shot. Why? Because he's made that bad shot for somebody else, for 90-95% of other people, is a good shot for him. Why? Because he's knocked it down time and at a clip that we've never seen, to the point where you got kids now, all they want to do is shoot threes because of Steph Curry. Now on the flip side, where he's wrong, he's not more influential. I don't think he's more influential than Michael Jordan. And here's the thing. Michael Jordan, in the era, and you played in this era, Big Shot, this is smack dab right in your era. In your era, the prominent thing was the big man. If you didn't have a big man, the likelihood of you winning anything was slim to none. Michael Jordan, as a 6'6 guard, he was the transcendent player to let you know that I can build around a guard. No disrespect to Oscar, no disrespect to these other guys. They had big men along with them, prominent big men. Michael Jordan had Bill Cartwright. Well, he had big men, but they weren't prominent big men. He was the focal point. They built that. It was him as a guard, a 6'6", 2 guard, prevented Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone, and so many other guys, big men, power forwards and centers in that league in that time, who they were the focal point in the center. He prevented them from winning titles as a guard.
I think we get to a point where now, you know, we put all these athletes on a pedestal and we said they can do so many different things. At the end of the day, this ain't freaking tennis. They ain't doing it by themselves.
Right.
You know, Draymond, if they don't have Draymond, they don't get there. You know, if Clay, maybe, but Draymond, no. And for me, that's the one thing that I look at. And also, Steph has really messed the game up. Because now every guy thinks he can shoot threes.
Yeah.
And it's about 80% of the NBA players now that shouldn't be shooting threes.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so now he's like, oh, well, it's a copycat league. Let's be honest. Think about this. Golden State's won, what, 3 championships?
Yep.
And 2 of those championships, they had the freaking best roster ever.
Yeah.
You know, with, you know, all these guys. But were they the best team? You know, who knows? But think about this. Now every guy's want to shoot threes, and so everybody wants to say, oh, Golden State did it. You remember back when the triangle was the thing?
Yeah.
So many teams tried to run the triangle?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have Michael Jordan, so the triangle ain't going to work. You don't have Scottie Pippen, so the triangle ain't going to work. You don't have Steph, Clay, or Draymond, so shooting threes ain't going to work. And so people get confused by that. I wish these NBA coaches, these GMs would say, okay, this team is a team of the decade. I'm like, it's a reason they're team of the decade because they got 2 extraordinary guys on that team that make them that way. It's not because they're shooting three. It's because they have extraordinary guys that are shooting threes.
Yeah.
And this is where people get confused by that. And they think, okay, Steph and Clay does it. You're not good at it. So you go do what you do. But, you know, take DeMar DeRozan. He ain't a three-point shooter. He'll give you 50 not shooting the threes. But people think he's a bad player because he doesn't shoot threes. It's the most ridiculous thing that people can even come up with. So now that's why I say Steph and Clay in that era, these threes has messed the game, because now you got every freaking big that wants to shoot threes, you know?
And I think that was Cowherd's point, though.
Mm-hmm.
He changed the way people approached the game because of how good he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like you said, it messed it up because it turned the game. It really... He's become the focal point for the outside-in version of basketball. You know, we play the perimeter, we shoot a lot of threes, we take a lot of shots outside, and we don't focus on the guy down low. It was always so opposite for the longest time. Yeah, was he the guy that changed it? Probably not.
No.
He's just become the poster boy for it, you know?
Yeah, him and Clay did it together. So people aren't giving Clay enough credit for this guy to be knocking out threes at a high clip too.
Yeah.
So they said, oh, it's just Steph. So no, it's a little bit of Clay too.
It is definitely Clay. I think the reason why Clay does not get as much recognition for that as he does is because Clay is more of the catch and shoot guy. Clay may be the best catch and shooter we've ever seen.
He's good.
Yeah. Period. Yeah.
So catching and shooting it as you know, a 3 points is 3 points. Whether you dance with somebody, step back and shoot it, or you catch it and shoot it, it's still 3 points. But we're all about – we live in an area of optics.
Yeah. Where I was going to say the same thing.
It looks good.
Clay is not flashy. No. Steph is flashy with his.
Right.
Clay just pure. You know, right. I think Clay, if you think about it, if you watch Clay, he might, like you said, the best spot-up shooter. How many points did he score and taking only like 8 dribbles, like 60 points, and he only took 8 dribbles in a game?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, man. Right. That lets you know he is the best catch-and-shoot shooter ever. We talk about Steph being the best 3-point shooter, but Clay might be the best shooter.
Yeah, he's definitely the best catching. Like, off the catch, anytime Clay catches the ball and shoots and he releases, I said, it's going in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, like you said, for Steph, I think it's a combination of volume of shots because he takes a ton. And Steph's the guy that'll cross the logo and everyone will back down for defensive positions and he'll just pull up and drain something from, like, just crossing the logo.
Right.
And he'll hit it. And people are just like, you can't defend that. And they're right, you can't. I mean, unless you're up against him from the minute he crosses half court, you don't have a shot. But I think he's become the poster boy now for the way the game of basketball is played and why, like you said, Rob, everyone's a copycat.
And no Golden State's
not. What worked for me is going to work for you, and that's not always the truth.
And no Golden State can't win without – they can't win without Clay either. Sorry.
Yeah, agreed. Well, they're the Splash Brothers for a reason. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not even just that.
Two of them.
Defensively, they can't win without Clay on the perimeter.
True. A couple other things to get to before we get to our game this week. I was going to play, I'm going to play Walmart or Waffle House, quick game of Walmart or Waffle. I was going to do it before you went to New York as a reminder that you're from the South. Just to, like you were headed to New York this week, and I was like, all right, Rob's going to New York. We got to get some Southern roots back in him before he leaves. So we'll play Walmart or Waffle House in a minute. Did you see Kaepernick is back out there? It looks like Kaepernick possibly to the Raiders now. Just an interesting story.
I believe it when I see you.
Come back up. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same camp.
You know what? He's been away from the game, what, 6 years now?
I think something 6 years. That. Yeah, I think it's right.
6 years. It's just, you know, your football players' bodies get used to, you know, getting hit and, you know, getting beat up. And 6 years away from the game, that's going to be hard, man.
But that's not even – I get that, but I also think that's an excuse. Because we've seen teams recently when they've needed a quarterback sidestep Kaepernick and go get a dude from some other piss-poor league.
Yeah, third-string quarterback from another team somewhere.
So you got a guy sitting on here who has football experience, has taken a team to the Super Bowl, and you sidestep him to go get a dude that, yeah, he playing, but he's playing in some other little rinky-dink
league. NFL Europe, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. So my thing is I hear all these, oh, he hadn't played in 6 years. He needs to give – people are just continuously building these blocks against him coming back because they still have a problem with the original thing. Instead of saying that you still have a problem with his original approach, now, he hadn't played in 6 years. Well, he is a little older. Well, he is this. Well, stop it. Stop the cap. Stop it.
It's like there was 6 years in sports is like 12 years, dude. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be wild, but So I hope he comes and he kicks ass and he's, you know, back on top because I used to love him when he was in the 49er uniform, but, you know.
I didn't, but.
6 years is 6 years. So.
Well, yeah, the Rams fan in the division. Not
I
a huge
didn't,
fan.
But hey, he was a heck of a player.
Fan. Yeah, not a huge fan, but I hope he gets a fair shot. I really do. I think regardless of everything he's done and been through, he is an amazing athlete, and he absolutely deserves another shot in the NFL.
NFL, we'll believe it when we see it. All this, we're going to bring him in for a workout, and we're going to do this, and we're going to – look, man, stop the pandering.
Yeah.
Either you're going to do it or you're not.
Do it or don't do it. I know you're a Texas guy, so I don't mean to bring the show down. We don't talk about news a lot on this show. We're a sports show. We have fun. We goof around, but I'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention what happened in Uvalde with the school shooting. And those it's terrible. It's horrible. There's probably nothing we can say here that you haven't already heard or haven't already talked about extensively with your family. But all I can tell you is if you have a kid, grab them, hug them, hold them, and give them a kiss on their head. And thank God that you get to do that because there's a lot of people out there that don't get to do that.
Yeah, it's one of the saddest things ever. And, you know, Texas, the gun laws, we are a smart nation. We have to figure out something, man.
Are we?
You know, we have to figure out something to combat all this gun violence that we have. And it's just getting ridiculous. And, you know, the thing about this, and I hope the powers that be don't, oh yeah, let's do something. You know, they wait that little, you know, that little time period, everybody things cools off and it gets, throw that in the back of the closet. You think about it, there's so many different things that happen in this world that when it happens, we all gung-ho about it. And I hate to use the word gung-ho, but is we all up in arms about it. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, after it dies down, you push it to the back of the closet. You know, you think about, you know, Black Lives Matter movement. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Push it to the back of the closet. You don't hear anything about it anymore. You think about, you know, all these other things, you know, with the LGBTQ stuff. And like, well, it's a, you know, push it to the back of, you know, the Pacific Americans and all this, you push it to the back of the closet. But all this stuff is still going on. You know, we can push it to the back of the closet as much as we want. That's still not going to, you know, that's just going to put a Band-Aid on the problem or whatever. It's just going to hide the problem. But we need to figure out how to solve all these problems that we have, not just, you know, be up in arms when it happens, still be up in arms, not from day one, but until it gets, you know, resolved. And it's just how we are as a nation. We're all gung-ho when it happens, but then again, it just dies down. We push to the back of the closet.
Did you see the list of the number of mass shootings around, you know, I guess all the countries that quote unquote have the most? America was number one by far with 228. You look at all the other countries below that, if you add them all up, and I'm pretty sure you multiply it by two, it still don't add up to what America has.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Look, there is no way in hell, none, that how old was the kid? 18 years old.
Yeah.
What the hell is he doing with a assault rifle? I'm all for people. Look, I'm for people bearing arms, but there need to be background checks because some people don't deserve. They don't need guns. They don't need guns. And there's no way in hell that children have to worry about going to school, a place of learning, a place where you meet your friends, a place where you build camaraderie, especially little kids, to learn, to understand, to build with one another, and you have somebody walk into a damn school and want to fire off a gun. For what? For what? We can't go to church. You can't go to the movies. You can't go to school. Well, where the hell can you go?
Yeah. You know, for me, I look at it, you know, we always try to figure out, I think the guns, if you're going to be able to get a gun, you know, I'm about bearing arms. You know, I come from the country.
Right.
You know, we all have guns since we 5, 6 years old. And teach you gun safety and all this kind of stuff. I think there's too many places that are allowed to sell guns. And if we had, I'm not saying this, but for me, I think it was regulated, if the government was the ones who, like, it was a government facility. If you need a gun, you got to go to the government facility. Just like you got to get a passport, you got to go to a government facility. You got to go to a government facility to get a gun. Now we have you on record. You can only get one gun. You can't get 3 or 4 guns. Okay, you can have a pistol, maybe a shotgun if you're a hunter or whatever. Maybe you might have 2. And let's say that. Now you're regulated by the government. And now the government is going to care because their ass is on the line. You know, they can't go out. So we're going to shoot a gun manufacturers over here because they did this. You know, it's like, no, now the government is regulated by this. They have to keep an eye on it. You know, you take so much of our money for taxes and put it on this bullshit where you got all these people up in Congress making millions of dollars sitting on their ass doing nothing.
That's a whole nother topic.
Take some of their money. Yeah, take some of their money and you regulate the guns. Now you can control the gun. You keeping your eye on it. And I know it still ain't going to solve the problem, but at least you can regulate it. So, nope, here it is in our records. You have 2 already. You at your limit. Go somewhere else. So, yeah. I don't know. We all have our ideas.
And that's the thing. I don't know what the answer is.
I don't think there is one because I don't think you're able to regulate it.
I don't know what the answer is. I just know it has to stop. And we have to figure out a way to stop it. And I don't know what I'm not smart enough to know the answer. I'm an idiot that talks about sports. Yeah. But I just know and I think everybody's there. Enough is enough. I mean, I sat in my daughter's third grade classroom graduation thing that she had last week, and the whole time was doing, you know, looking over my shoulder, checking the room, looking down the hall, just because it's so top of mind. And I'm like, this is my daughter's third grade classroom. I was more freaked out about what was going on there than I am outside of the school. That's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Thoughts, obviously, for what it's worth, and I know it gets thrown around as a thoughts and prayers, of course, with all of those families.
Absolutely.
It's the most you can offer them.
Absolutely.
You know, support them in any way you can, and like I said, hug your kids and kiss them, because this shit is scary. And I hug my daughter every night and give her a big fat kiss on the head, and she
wipes it out.
I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is going to happen forever, and you're going to get used to it, because every day I got
until
you.
Until you get married and move out.
Deal with it. That's what I tell her. You got to deal with it. You're going to get daddy kisses forever. All right, let's give out a big shot of the week. This one's going to go to Brandon Shintani, who is a 17-year-old high school junior from Ridgewood, New Jersey. He noticed he was having an anxiety issue when he was playing basketball, so he wanted to offer a free resource to young athletes. So 17-year-old Brandon Shintani founded a website called Mind Design Sports to help teens struggle with strengthen their mental game, and actually went out and hired a bunch of his friends to write blog posts and record podcasts sharing information on topics like letting go of mistakes, making decisions on when to compete, and how to basically mentally prepare yourself for the game of sports, and in turn, what sports can do to you mentally. I think that's brilliant.
Yes.
For a 17-year-old kid to realize, hey, there's a mental aspect to what we do goofing off in sports. It affects us, and it's something everyone should pay attention to. Wildly smart. So big shout to that kid, because that's incredible.
Big shout, because, you know, that's what's going on in this world today. It's kind of one of the things we've been talking about. A lot of these athletes that were killing themselves because they go out and they don't perform well.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I realize it's just a freaking game, man.
Right, you know, but you put the weight of the world on it sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's you know, I think about, you know, I think it recently, was it a soccer player or cricket, a young girl? She killed herself because, you know, she had a bad couple of weeks. And I think so many times, you know, coaches need to take their time out, not just talk to the top player, talk to all the players, you know, just say, hey, yeah, it's going. Any problems? All right, good. Now, it might be that short.
Yeah.
But this mental thing that's going on because of this society, has been a lot of pressure on kids to perform and be well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, social media, because everybody wants to be like the person that has the million followers. I want to be like them. And if I don't get to there, you know, my life's over. No, it's not. There's so many other paths in your life that you can do to make yourself successful. Stop looking at that social media. Stop, you know, trying to live up to that person, because that person, you don't know what kind of struggles they'll have. You don't know if those million followers are all real followers too. And that's the thing that these people got to stop doing. And they got to just, you know what? Go to your mom and your dad. Let them be your role model. Let them be your insight to being great in this society. And so for me, it's just so ridiculous that people look up to these social media and judge themselves by it. Now they compare themselves to that, and they don't feel like they're living up to it. Then they harm themselves. So I know I jumped off to another thing, but
no,
you know,
you're
the
right,
mental aspect.
Yeah, you're right.
Mental is everything, man. And I just need everybody to be healthy mentally and understand that, you know, you don't have to be like the people you see on the miniature idiot box, you know?
Yeah.
That's true.
And there's a lot of them. And we love the miniature idiot box. We spend all our time in it. Oh, God, we spend all our time in it.
It is true.
By the way, follow us on social. We're at, no, I'm just kidding. All right, let's have some fun and goof around for a few minutes here.
Why you make me feel like I'm at home now? Hey,
yeah, down here in Andalusia, Alabama. We're going to play us some Walmart or Waffle House.
Yeah, we're going to go play some dominoes. Andalusia, Alabama, home of the World Championship Domino Tournament.
I love that. I love that that's where that's the World Championship Domino Tournament. It's held in
it
Andalusia,
used to be.
Alabama. That's wild to me. I was never a big dominoes kid, though. Like, I know there was a lot of people in my high school played them. I never really got into it. But, man, when the folks that got into it hard.
I being out here in LA, I miss playing dominoes with my crew. I miss playing spades.
Spades is the other one.
Man, me and Clyde used to dominate spades on the plane.
I broke up fights in high school over spades. People would just get out of here, son of a bitch. I mean, it got loud.
Yeah.
It got heated. All right, well, look, our Southern roots are true in this game. I'm just going to give you a completely insane story. You just have to tell me easily, did it happen at a Walmart or did it happen at a Waffle House? So let's start with this one. A woman was asked to leave this location after it was discovered by employees that the baby in her carrier was actually a monkey. dressed in baby's clothes that she was feeding Cheetos to. So not only do you go in with a monkey and a baby carrier, you feed it Cheetos.
Is this like an emotional support animal?
Who the hell? Everything's an emotional support animal. Right. I don't even know anymore. So did the lady with a monkey dressed in baby's clothes happen at a Walmart or a Waffle House?
Walmart.
Waffle House. She was sitting there eating her good old eggs from Waffle House, and she was feeding her baby while she was eating. I'm going to Waffle House.
Oh, the point is going to go to B-Dog Brandon Harper. That happened at Walmart.
Let me tell you why I think
lady
it was
lady in a baby carrier.
Let me tell you why. The employee, I mean, I know you have multiple employees at Waffle House, but the employees, and they asked her to leave, it just screamed Walmart.
Well, at Waffle House is usually the ex-convict chef that's making your waffle and the lady smoking a cigarette who took your order. You know what I mean? That's pretty much it. That's the whole staff of
the
Waffle
House. As ashes dropping your grits.
That's right. Yeah. Let me just dish this over here, sweetheart. Everything's okay. All right. Story number two here. I guess when you don't have a coupon, this will do. A woman tried to start a fight with an employee at this location in hopes of turning it around on the employee and getting her purchase for free. So, like, I'm going to pick a fight with you and then blame it on you so that I get what I want for free. Did that happen at a Walmart or a Waffle House?
Walmart.
I'm going to go Walmart, too, because I don't think you really have coupons for... I've been out of the South a long time, but I don't know if you really got coupons when you walk up in that Waffle House. You hear me?
All right. Well, guess what? You're both wrong. Happened at a Waffle House.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to get my meal for free by trying to pick a fight with the waitress was the move here. So... no point for either of you. Police were called to escort a woman from this location after she began and then carried on a very loud argument with herself.
With herself?
So she got in a full-on screaming match with herself until police were called. Did that happen at a Walmart or a Waffle House?
I'm going to have to go Waffle House because you see a lot of coots sitting outside of the Waffle Houses that you like, no, I'm going to go to the next Waffle House. So I'm going to go Waffle House.
There's one two blocks over, so it's cool, you know.
I'm going to go.
What do you think, B?
What argument with herself?
Yeah. Shouting match.
I'm going to go. This sounds very Waffle House-ish, so I'm going to go Waffle House as well.
Man, Robert Ory is 0 for 3 on this one. That happened at a Walmart.
It ain't my day, though.
It ain't your day, dude. I'm
20
sorry.
Years ago it was, but I guess today ain't.
That ain't today. Story number four, a group of 6 drunk people entered this location late at night, dropped a Bluetooth speaker on full volume, and proceeded to throw an impromptu dance party until the cops were called. So 6 drunk people wander in, drop a Bluetooth speaker. Impromptu dance party breaks out at a Walmart or a Waffle House.
Let me just say this. We've all been drunk in a Waffle House. I've never been drunk in a Walmart, so I'm going to say Waffle House.
I don't know how many Walmarts you've been to, my friend, because I'm not sure.
I'm going to say Walmart.
All right. Well, put the man on the board. Point for Robert Ory happened at a Waffle House. You're right.
Thank you.
Usually when the drunk people do stupid stuff, it's at a Waffle House.
It's true, but I'm looking
sometimes it's outside of a Walmart. That's about as best.
That's what I'm saying, because you talk about like 6 drunk people. I'm like, okay, how much room is that for you to do that at a Waffle House, like the break dance?
They took up 2 booths.
And they just made it work, man. Made it work. All right, story number 5, Daytona Beach police are on the lookout for this man who entered the establishment with a machete and started just swinging it randomly at people, shouting, "Who wants a slice?" as he drunkenly hurled the large blade around. Who wants a slice?
That ain't funny, man, but it's funny.
Who wants a slice?
I'm gonna say Walmart.
I definitely have to be a Walmart because you like B just said, there ain't enough room to even
go back. Who wants a slice?
I'm gonna say Walmart.
So I would say Walmart.
Waffle House.
What? Oh,
who
my
wants
goodness.
A slice? I love that guy. He's my favorite new character on the show, Who Wants a Slice Guy. All right, story number 6. They're all drunks this week. A drunk man outside this location is not out of the ordinary, but the man smelled amazing because he was drunk on mouthwash. He had been drinking mouthwash and got tanked off it. And I'm like, that's a pepperminty drunk right there. So... did the guy who's pegging back mouthwash at a Walmart or a Waffle House?
See, that's kind of a trick question. But then again, it's not a trick question because you ain't going to buy mouthwash at a Waffle House. You buy mouthwash at a Walmart. So I got to say Walmart.
But who says he bought it at their Walmart?
Mm-hmm. I got to go with Walmart.
Okay. We're contemplating.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Don't hurt yourself.
I said all that, but I'm gonna go Walmart.
All right. Well, that's a point for both of you. Yeah, okay. Having it at Walmart for all the obvious reasons you listed. If you would have picked Waffle House at that point, we would have had to have a real conversation about what you're doing at your Waffle House. And then the final story here, a huge fight broke out at this location when a woman stormed in on the lookout for a friend, upon which finding her, she started screaming, "Are you sleeping with my son? Are you sleeping with my son?" And the two women fought wildly until police arrived. So the woman looking for her friend who was sleeping with her son happened at a Walmart or a Waffle House?
Waffle House.
You know what? Due to the fact that she had to look for her, because you're going to see the person through the window at a Waffle House. So I'm going to have to roll with Walmart on this.
And that point's going to Robert Ory. Yeah, that happened at Walmart.
He
won
it.
Yeah, that's it. Who wants a slice? Who wants a slice? Right.
Hey, I want to know this last one. Were they sisters?
Oh, God, I hope not. Well, you know what? Most of these stories happen in the South, so damn well, very well could be. Very damn well could be. Yeah.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
Spoiler alert, Fresca Mixed is the drink of the summer. Classic Fresca taste, real spirits, zero sugar, and only 100 calories. Find the new Fresca Mixed Vodka Spritz Variety Pack with four delicious flavors or the Tequila Paloma near you at frescamixed.com/buy. Enjoy responsibly. Fresca is a trademark of the Coca-Cola Company. Fresca Mixed 5% alcohol by volume. Vodka Spritz, vodka with natural flavors and artificial sweeteners. Tequila Paloma, tequila with natural flavor. All products per 12 fluid ounce average analysis. Calories 100, protein 0 grams, fat 0 grams, carbs range from 1.3 to 1.6 grams.
Baseball season is back, and the Podcast Park has the best local baseball podcast to help get you ready for another season. Check out the Braves Country Podcast, where we dig deep into the soil of life in the Southeast, the people, the music, the food, and of course, Braves baseball. Or try Hardball with Chris Domino, the long-running baseball history series with in-depth conversations from the players and people that shape the game. And KMAC has the latest Braves updates every week with a Frozen Rope Report. Get these and all of our podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. All brought to you in part by Associated Credit Union.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.